Good Wednesday and welcome in Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Let's head to St. Thomas Sports Park and hear from Titans head coach Brian Callahan.
A name for himself as a good receiver thus far in his first two games out. And it's got to keep coming. You know, he hasn't arrived yet by any stretch, but having two good outside receivers that both have some speed and have some different things we can use from a skill set perspective is great. And I'm really excited to see the rest of those guys keep coming too.
Cam is such a confident quarterback. How comfortable do you think he is already? And this really is any rookie quarterback drafted where he's been. Mm-hmm. In terms of being honest about, I didn't like this, I didn't do this, like that. I can't do that. He obviously wants to present the image that he's capable of doing these things.
Sure. I think he's done a really good job with that. He's not afraid to tell me something he doesn't like, which is really what I'm most concerned about. Most quarterbacks are going to tell you they like a lot of things, and because they generally do, especially if it's just involved with throwing the ball. Of course, he's going to like those things. I'm really the most concerned, though, about things that he really doesn't like. That means more to me because as long as a quarterback's fine with whatever the concept is, they generally can make it work. It's the ones where they're not certain or they don't feel good about it, but maybe they're afraid to say something because they think I like it or it matters to me. It doesn't. If the quarterback doesn't like it, I'm not calling it because – they generally tend to not play well in those situations when they don't feel confident with the play. So he's been really good, and that's things we've worked on over the course of training camp. And as you're banking reps on plays, like I need to know, hey, how do you feel about this particular play? You don't like it, or you don't like the throw, or maybe the route's not what you're expecting. We won't do it, and that's the feedback I need from him, more so than what he does like, because again, most guys like a lot of things, but it's the very specific things that you're not comfortable with that. Guys sometimes have a harder time of sharing, and he doesn't have that issue at all. He's very honest about what he likes and what he doesn't.
Kennard said yesterday that he needs sweat out there because he's an impact player who can affect what goes on in the back seven behind him and all. How is he doing, and is he ready for a full load this
week?
He's
good. I'm hopeful to see him get back into the practice mix here this week. Hopeful. You know, we'll see how the week plays out, but yeah, he's an impact player in a run game, certainly. And when he's playing at his best, he's a really nice tandem with Jeff, and he makes our football team better. So would love to have him. Would love to have him, especially against this group this week. They've run the ball well through the first 2 weeks, and got a really good back and a good offensive line. So having as many good players on the front that we can have that are big and strong and physical is what we're looking for. So we'll see ultimately where that shakes out this week, but I definitely would love to have him back.
Brian, a bit off topic, but how do you approach half times? Like when you have such a limited amount of time to make adjustments, making sure guys understand what they need to do before heading out for the third quarter, what's kind of your philosophy on that?
You try to get at least maybe the first drive out of the third quarter ready to roll, you know, kind of preview some things. The only thing that we spend the most time on is just going back through any protection issues that we got to put up on the screen. That's really the bulk of the time is – you know, it ends up feeling like 3 minutes. It's probably like five or six. You know, it's not that much time at halftime when it's all said and done. Try to preview kind of the next handful of things that are coming. But, you know, those are all conversations that we have in between series, sort of the entirety of the game. You know, I do think, as I've said before, there's a little bit of a overblown nature of like halftime adjustments that gets thrown around. There's just not a lot of time at halftime, and those conversations are ongoing. After every series, we're having conversations about how we're being played, what the counter is to the next play, what was good before we need to come back to, where do we need to continue to head, or what part do we need to get away from. Those conversations are ongoing. They happen the entirety of the game. So the halftime thing is what it is. There's a little bit of time to make maybe another – have a conversation or two further, but for the most part, it's just a continuation of what we'd already been talking about leading up to it.
Did you say you are able to put stuff up on video for guys to see in that?
Not video. We can bring the surface down. Like, you know, there's the normal sideline tablets, and we plug it into a projector, and we can go through – like, we can annotate on those pictures over the course of the game. So we make notes and do stuff. So we go through during the series, you just flip through them and the notes are on there. But then any like particular pressure looks or something we want to make sure we hit again, you can pull that picture up and talk through it on an overhead, but no video.
I understand what you're saying about the potential for massive adjustments in that time period being overblown. But considering how your second halves have gone, should you not perhaps be looking to expand what you do during that time?
Yeah, we're always looking to try to improve that process and whatever we think we need to do from a communication standpoint, from a presentation standpoint to the players. You know, clearly we got to perform better in the second half and particularly in the fourth quarter. And, you know, we look at all that stuff. If we can better maximize our time, better present the information in the moment, those are all things that we look at. And we've done that a couple different ways and looked at some things that maybe can help us. And so, yes, the answer ultimately is yes, we do look at that.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, thank you. There you go. There's Brian Callahan, Titans head coach, starting things off. We jumped in there a little bit late. He did say at the beginning on J.C. Latham, they want to see how practice goes this week with him. If he can't go, it would be Udo or Ojukwu probably going in his place. So we've kind of seen how that's worked out. But anyway, welcome in, Chase and Big Joe here on this Wednesday. And, you know, I don't know where to begin with that. I mean, I guess, you know, there were some injury things talked about. You know, Tavondre Sweat hopes to have him in the mix this week. That would obviously be a big deal if he's able to go again. But I feel like it's just kind of the same old until something changes.
It's gotten to the point where it was like during Fisher's last couple of years of press conferences, you couldn't tell which week it was.
Yeah.
If it was week 2, week 9, week 4, week 11. And not necessarily a good or bad thing. It's just until you win, it's all going to sound the same.
I feel like let's win. You know, it's funny you bring up Jeff Fisher because I feel like we've kind of had that conversation with him where he knew there was a point where –
Right. What? What's up, man?
I'm just laughing at what you just did. you're on TV. You know,
that's fine.
Right? Yeah. Was there a point with him where you kind of knew?
Oh yeah.
And I think there was a point where he kind of knew.
I think the 2009 season where Fisher just fed Chris Johnson the football to get 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
Because they started 0-6. They knew they weren't going anywhere. The talent wasn't there. Vince sucked. And I think he knew then it was like, all right. And they came back for 2010. And he just knew it was the end.
And Bud was just getting more and more.
And there's a shelf life. It's okay. Yeah. I mean, it happens to every single coach. And so that was it. But with the Callahan part of this, it's just you got to win a game, right? You got to win a game. And you know the opportunity on Sunday. So you got to stop the Colts. They run the ball good. They're playing for Ursay. Somehow Daniel Jones thinks he's Dan Marino. You got to convince him he's back to being Daniel Jones, and you'll do that. But you have an opportunity against a team that you match up pretty well against starting the year out and now go and get the job done.
Yeah, I'm also curious of – and I liked Paul's follow-up too, but there's this kind of obsession right now with halftime adjustments and what's happening at halftime. And,
right.
And you know, this stems from a few years ago. We read the quote yesterday. Peyton Manning was like, you know, I never really – I don't know where that comes from. There's not like these halftime adjustments. You're always kind of adjusting as the game goes along.
Yeah.
But I thought Paul's question was like, well, your second halves haven't been very good. So do you think maybe you should do a little bit more at halftime? And Callahan's like, oh, we're always adjusting.
What do they get? 20 minutes?
15, I think. Or is it 20? It may be 20.
I don't, but okay. So Callahan's got to do the interview on the field with TV and radio. Time you go to the locker room, go to the bathroom. You got like 5 minutes before you get back out there again.
Yeah.
So you can go to Cam and say, hey, you know, keep doing this, doing that. Look at that. Yeah, I'm sure you make some sort of adjustments, but this is a overblown story, I think. Everybody's obsessed with this now at halftime. I just think it's an overblown story.
So you know I'm going to have to ask Derek Mason when he comes next. Absolutely. Like, okay, now how do you do it?
Yeah. Oh no! It's a great question. It's just like, can you change the game around at halftime? It's almost like you don't do any in-game adjustments, and it's all at halftime. And I will give Callahan this. It's like we reevaluate every single series that we go on, and all that. Now, again, as a head coach, you got a lot of responsibilities going. You still got to pay attention to the game, and I don't think he's at point yet where he's able to delegate enough to say, hey, do this and do that, where you're still a head coach. But
buddy, I don't think he's at the point yet to do a whole lot of things.
Right? I mean, your record is what your record is.
He is 3-16.
He is. All right, so Derek Mason, 12-15. 12:30, I've labeled it as Chase's big adventure around Nashville.
Yeah, we're going to get into the question. I have to tell a story to set up the question of the day. I don't even think Dr. Crane knows my morning. So we've had a morning here, and so we will talk about the I-24-500.
Not here.
Not here. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, the I-24-500, we'll talk about that in here in a little bit. And
it spurned a great question that we'll reveal.
It spurned a great question, and I need to – I think it was somewhat preventable, but we'll discuss.
I think it was a lot preventable. I think you knew. It's like the decision to get gas. I'll get gas in the morning,
yeah,
not at night.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that, though. It has nothing.
Maybe just push it a little further.
Right.
But first, we will talk to Coach Derek Mason from MTSU. Big win for the Blue Raiders. We'll talk about that. Coming up next is Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. And, man, oh, man, how cool of an ending of a game was it on Saturday? Big Joe got to witness it live at Nevada. We say hello to the head coach of the Blue Raiders, Derek Mason, who's on the line with us. Coach, you got yourself a win. Congratulations.
Chase, man, it feels good, boss. Guys went and they played. They played four quarters, 60 minutes. It wasn't drawn up like that, but I tell you what, fantastic finish. A win for the Blue Raiders, and now what we get a chance to do is get ready to come back this week for homecoming in our stadium versus Marshall and see if we can go at number two.
So I got to tell you, like, I couldn't watch it. It was on Mountain West Network, and I didn't get that, and so I'm listening to Chip and Joe and keeping up with it on my phone, and, you know, it's like, okay, you guys are in it and in it and in it, and then next thing I know, it's 14-13 at the end of the game. What did you see out of your guys on those last two drives that were able to get you guys the victory?
Well, I thought they just stayed in the fight. You know, obviously had to be resilient, had some adversity happen, you know, early in that ball game. But defensively, we kept fighting. Offensively, man, we had opportunities. We got down to the red zone in three times, and because of penalties or miscues, you know, came away with no points. So, to find ourselves late in that ball game, needing to score two touchdowns to win and doing it, that you talk about confidence, you talk about being clutch, you talk about meeting adversity right in the middle of the ring and going toe to toe. That's what those guys did, and I think because of it, they've become a different football team.
So let me along those lines, you know, when we've talked to you, whether it's privately or on the air, I mean, you have said over and over again, you believe this is a good football team. Does winning a game like that, being down, is that what helps define a good football team, of finally being able to get over those humps?
It is. You know, I paid a lot of attention to Dan Campbell, you know, in Detroit. And, you know, first year to second year to third year to fourth year. And that's, you know, he just kept talking about, you know, the hardest part of what was going to have to happen was just, you know, winning and learning how to win in certain fashions. And no game is one the same. And you see this football team, and it started slow, and it's weekly gotten better. And last week was a culmination of a lot of hard work, guys finding themselves, staying in the fight, and with that, finding a way to win. I mean, on the road, coming back, having to score when needed and necessary, that's team building, that's season building, that's an opportunity to push this team forward.
Talking to MTSU head football coach Derek Mason on the Chase and Big Joe show. Coach, I know we talk about Nick Vadiato all the time. When you're down 13-0, and I thought the play calling in the fourth quarter was perfect. I thought Nick's execution was perfect. I thought your line blocked well. I mean, everything went perfect for you, but you had to do it twice, and you got down there and did it. Nick Vadiato putting the team on his back like a warrior. I mean, I don't have a question here. I'm just telling you, Coach, he's a badass.
Yeah, I agree with you, Big Joe. You know, when you talk about what you want a quarterback to be, the dude was clutch. You look throughout that game, and I thought he played. I thought he made throws. I thought we had some drops early. But just to see five different targets or guys targeted in that last drive, the blocking was superb. The opportunity for guys to make plays were there, and they made plays for their quarterback. But in the end, he had to put it on his back. He found himself with zone coverage, everybody covering receivers, but nobody covering him, and so he made them pay. And I thought that was the difference in this ball game. Nick Vadiato did what needed to be done. He ran what he needed to run. He threw, you know, dimes when he needed to throw dimes, and guys made plays for him. So that was just the maturation of this group and this group leaning into one another. But Nick Vadiato's the catalyst. He's the point guard.
Oh, absolutely. I remember I had a coach in junior college, a defensive coach, was like, oh, somehow always get to the ball, be around the ball. Juwan Gaston was around the ball. Right, and anything can happen, Coach. Once you get to the ball, he got two interceptions, that really clutch one there in the end zone, and he becomes Conference USA Defensive Player of the Week. That young man's got something, Coach. That was a hell of a job by him on Saturday.
It was. You know what? Juwan's got, you know, A1 instincts. Just still learning how to play within the system, right? And sometimes when you talk to players, players are about making plays, so they watch film to make plays, but when you're just doing your job sometimes, the ball will hit you in the face. He found himself in a couple of situations where he was just doing his job, right? He found himself playing zone coverage, and we were playing match on the other side. He just followed the quarterback's eyes. Quarterback led him right to the party. Sometimes when you're doing your job, ball hits you in the face. He's playing deep safety. He's playing deep safety, a hole safety at that, and the quarterback was a one-look, one-read guy. You know, he stares at it. He gets hit. You know, man, by our blitzing safety, John House, and the ball's hanging. The corner goes up. The receiver fights for the ball, but Juwan, you know, saw the throw, makes great effort to get to the ball, and tips and overthrows. Got to get those again. Just Johnny on the spot. So, you know, sometimes when you just continue to work at doing the things you're supposed to do, it's not the supernatural. It's just making the routine plays look easy, and that's what he did on Saturday.
Not saying you guys in practice haven't had a pep in the step, but what does a win do for practice leading up to the Marshall game? I got to think everything you've talked about when you tell the guys, look, when you execute well and you do well, we'll have success. Now they felt it. They don't see it. They felt it. Is that a big plus for you heading into the Marshall game?
It is. This idea that, you know, playing your best ball is still in front of you. I mean, we haven't done that yet. And there's an opportunity this weekend that bypass all the stuff that's in front of it. This is one of these road stops on the way to the place that we're trying to go, where, I mean, you get an opportunity to play your best ball. So we need to be able to do that. I think these guys this week, a win does a lot for you when it comes to, you know, the energy of practice. I thought practices have been good, but they've been ramped up a little bit, extra competitive, because I think guys are trying to grab whatever they can in practice to make sure we can start fast, strike early and often, and be consistent through this process, because that's what it's going to take on Saturday, consistency. Not a quarter, but four quarters of good football.
We're talking to Derek Mason, MTSU football coach. I'm curious of your thoughts on this. For whatever reason, there's kind of been recently this obsession with halftime adjustments and making all these different changes at halftime. And I know Peyton Manning said a few years ago that the only thing he did at halftime was, you know, maybe look at a couple of plays and eat apple orange slices. And there's not that's kind of a myth. So how do you go about it? Are you obviously you're adjusting as the game goes on, but at halftime, is there really time to do any kind of, you know, major adjustments within the game?
I think now the game is always constantly adjusting itself. I think with the advent of technology and iPad, you know, usage on the sideline, it makes it more pronounced. I think the halftime adjustments are really big picture. You know, what things have you seen? What things can you attack? What things are sort of hindering you? And you make those points, right? You make those points quickly, but the iPad technology allows you to go back, look at it, sort of make the messaging a little bit more succinct and concrete, instead of just, you know, thinking you now know exactly what you got to do. So I think the technology has driven adjustments to be such a driving force in how teams play in the second half.
Coach, it's homecoming. Got Marshall coming to town, and I always don't like to ask this question when people say, "Well, homecoming, so that's a must-win game." But every game's a must-win game. You want to win every game. Yeah, homecoming's a lot of fun, right? But it's just another game on the schedule that you want to win, and you work your butt off to get that win, regardless if it's homecoming or not. At least those are my thoughts.
Yeah, you know what? I'm happy for the fan base. I'm happy for the alumni. They get a chance to, you know, man, come back to a place that they love, and they wanna enjoy, you know, what homecomings, you know, man, give folks just in terms of the pomp and circumstance. That's fantastic. You know, for this group, we have to continue to prepare, you know, for what's to come. Marshall's a good football team, and you know they're 1-2. They got their first win last week. They played three quarterbacks, and that's our focus, because we're going to have to like defend three quarterbacks who have three different ways of playing the game. And so for us, we got to keep the main thing the main thing. The week is important. The game is important to us. So we got to continue with the preparation.
I know you obviously look at everything game to game, but, you know, with the way this Conference USA schedule works, you're going to go through a stretch where you're going to be playing some weeknight games. And so you got two more on Saturdays before you get a little bit of time off. What do you want to see from your team in those two games before you hit the bye? Then then you can look at things that you can adjust on for the second half of the season.
We got to direct ourselves, you know, getting better and finding ways to win. We found ways to come back, or where we found a way to come back in this ball game. That's one way to win a ball game. We need to find other opportunities and other ways, man, that are a little more, you know, of our liking to try to seal victory. So it starts this weekend with Marshall in homecoming. It's one of these where we need good things to happen for this squad to build the momentum that you need heading into an October that's coming. We need to finish September the way we talked about it, which is playing fast, physical, and winning ball games. So this week provides that opportunity.
Coach, it's the last home game before your birthday next week. So how about we send you out with a good birthday this weekend, huh?
You know what? If me and Nick Badiato, because our birthdays are on the same day, if we can get this one, or when we get this one, you know, it'll be an early present, and we'll keep chopping wood.
I love it, Coach. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, Coach.
You guys take care. Let's go Blue.
You too. Thanks, Coach. Coach Derek Mason joining us here on the program, as he does every Wednesday at 12:15. And again, the Blue Raiders will take on Marshall. It is homecoming Saturday night down at Floyd Stadium, and you can hear everything on Totally Hits 93.3. Starting at, I don't have it in front
5:30.
Of me. 5:30. Thank you.
5:30. Chip and I, actual pregame at 4:30, but Chip and I hit the air at 5:30, game at 6. How cool is that? I didn't know him and Vadiato had the same birthday.
Oh, that is cool.
Do you share your birthday, anybody famous?
I think. Well, I should. Unfortunately, Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett died on my birthday. But,
oh, man.
Yeah, I feel like there's a couple.
Nancy Cartwright.
Bart Simpson? That's my birthday?
Me.
Oh, you.
If you want it to be your birthday. We're born on the 25th.
Yeah.
So we might as well see what it is. You're looking up somebody now. It's got to be one person.
Yeah, hang on. I'm looking.
Dr. Crane, when's your birthday?
Carly Simon is one.
Ah, and you're not vain.
Oh, he's dead now, but George Michael.
Same birthday?
Yeah.
So you got three really pop culture heroes. Farrah Fawcett, Michael Jackson.
Ricky Gervais.
Is on your same day?
Yeah. Angela Kinsey.
Oh, that's Angela from The Office.
Yeah. Jimmy Walker.
Oh, Dynamite.
Yeah. So there's a few.
I have one more.
June Lockhart.
Okay. I have the lead singer of Sawyer Brown. Dr. Crane, when's your birthday?
August the 19th. I share a birthday with now deceased Matthew Perry, John Stamos, Fat Joe,
that's
Bill Clinton.
Rude.
Oh, not you. I'm just, you know, the rapper. And Bill Clinton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not have. Okay. All right, good. Nice job. Well done.
Let's see. Here's some. I just pulled up. Here's some. Now you just got me curious.
Yeah.
Benson Boone. Don't people like him?
And yeah, he was in town. He's like, he's not as good as Pat Boone, but I'll take Benson Boone.
Yeah, George Michael. That's probably would have been the most famous one. There's all these TikTok stars that I've never heard of. Like, why are they famous?
Is David James the TikTok star? Is he on there? No.
Yeah, he's on
that one.
Anthony Bourdain.
He passed away, the late
Anthony Bourdain.
You're the last remaining guy alive on that
Sheridan
birthday.
Smith.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know. But there you go. That's what we got.
All right, well done.
It is. Coming up next, I will tell you the the adventure of my morning.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was. And we'll take your calls and texts at 615-737-1025. It's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. We'll get back into the Titans in a few minutes. But I think everybody has been through having a morning. And, you know, look, sometimes maybe it's preventable. But, I mean, it was going to be a morning no matter what. When I got in my car and turn it on and immediately it pops up and says, you know, air low in tire, you know, fill, put air in it. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. It was a little colder this morning, but not that cold. And it said 20 PSI. And I'm like, okay, I've run over something. So that's good. So I'm like, all right, let's go figure this out. And I go to the gas station and put air in it. It's holding air. Everything's good. Fills back up. But I clearly see a screw, a nail or a screw or something. So I'm like, all right, so how do I want to play this? Because I have the, when I got my car, like I have all the maintenance stuff. And so, you know, I could go get it patched. Now, to my credit, there is a place right by the gas station that I was at that will patch a tire for $20. I was going to go there. They weren't open yet. So
that was
my conundrum that I was in. So I'm like, okay, how are we gonna make this work? So it's holding air, everything's fine. I'm like, all right, we're good. Here's where I definitely made a mistake. I'm going down the interstate and I'm like, this is good. Everything's fine. I'll do it after work. And I should have just been like, no, just go do it now. I don't think I would have made it in hindsight anyway. But so I turn on 440 instead of going to Metro Center. And I'm just kind of cruising along. And all of a sudden, I kind of feel a wiggle. And I'm like, uh-oh. And then I kind of hear it. And I'm like, oh. And then it pops up and it says, PSI zero.
Oh.
So I'm like, oh boy, yep, I screwed that one up, even though I think it was going to happen anyway. It was kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. So I pull over on the side of I-24. And
where?
Well, it's 440 to 24. It's the loop, the exit ramp.
Right.
Better known as the Daytona International Speedway.
Right.
You people need to, like, I'm part of this too. We all need to slow down because holy crap.
Deaf ears.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. So I initially stop, like there's not really much of a shoulder.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, this ain't going to work. So I pull into the grass. I'm like, I'm just going to pull off the road and just be
now,
in the
is
grass.
Your tire wobbling? Is that wobble?
Not too bad. It was literally like, it just went flat.
Okay.
You know, so it wasn't wobbling. Lucky. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I don't think I messed the tire up. I think the tire is savable. So I pull over and everything and look, I know how to change a tire, but it's going to take me 3 hours on the side of the interstate.
Right.
Like I know my limits. I know my strengths. Like if this had happened in the driveway, I would have been like, you know what? Hey, I'll work from home. I'll change this. Like no big deal. But I did the roadside assistance. They were great through Nissan and AAA. Came out and like I was concerned for his name was Anthony. Because he's just, like, hanging out, butt hanging in the middle of the road. And he's just like, I'm like, damn. And he goes, yeah, I'm used to it. I do this all the time. Like, it's fine.
He's like, what we got here?
Yeah, basically.
They like, go red man in and the
no,
chew.
He wasn't that way. But he was super cool and changed it in 5 minutes. So it's like, again, because whenever I tell a story like this, there's always going to be that one guy that's like, how come you can't change your own tire?
I'm not changing it.
And my thing is like, yeah, I can do it. But again, I'd have to do – like, he's got the drill that's like NASCAR team, like, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
And, like, I'd have to be, you know –
When was the last time you changed a tire?
I helped my dad do it probably 15 years ago.
Right? I mean, we could do it, but it's going to take us an hour.
There's a lot of stuff I can do, but
that's why you have roadside assistance.
People that can do it better. The techs are coming in.
Where's the worst place? So our question of the day.
This is now the worst place I've broken down.
We'll get it out there. The question of the day is, what's the worst place you've ever been broken down? So that is the worst place you've ever been broken down? On the side then, right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's my best. Zach and Hermitage. I knew there was going to be one of you. $30 tire compressor at Amazon.
That's right. I got one in my car. Yeah. I do.
Hey, Zach, when there's a hole in the tire, an air compressor ain't going to do much good, brother.
Right?
There was a hole. The nail came out. There was a hole.
Oh, man.
Like.
Stupid nail.
I'm not stupid.
What's another place that you've been broken down? Just like, oh, God.
So I think this is the second time I've been. I had a flat tire when I was like 19 on 440. Right at 21st. And it was like I had literally just passed the exit.
Right.
And then pop. And so I was on 440.
We got to get you off 440. That's the problem right there. So that's our question, 615-737-1025. Worst place been broken down. Dr. Crane, what about you?
Gallatin.
Gallatin?
Where in Gallatin?
At an apartment complex. I was helping my buddy move in, and, you know, he works for the Hendersonville PD out there. And
shout out to PD in Hendersonville, right?
Shout out to the PD, exactly. My car, it had some electrical problem, and I went to go stop, and my car shut off, and it went into neutral, and I'm in the middle of the road. I pressed the push to start again.
Right.
And it turns back on. I'm like, okay, maybe it was just a little malfunction. I drive up the parking lot, so hopefully I don't roll back down, and I park in the spot, and I get out. I lock the car. My car won't open because the electronic battery's dead.
Oh, yeah.
And in the car I used to have, the Jeep, the battery is located underneath the passenger seat, not in the engine bay, underneath the passenger seat.
Yeah. My grandfather's Cadillac.
What the hell?
The battery was in the back seat. It was underneath the back seat, and it had like a terminal under the hood that you could jump off of.
Okay, okay.
But it was like the weirdest, yeah.
So were you in traffic or are you just in the park?
No, I was getting off. It was like on a side road. Okay. And I got into sorry, not like that. No, I was getting into the right
Lord.
Lane. And when I got in the right lane, I turned and thank goodness, you know, I wasn't in any oncoming traffic.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank goodness you weren't onto that. Real quick, I broke down on Lebanon Road in front of Party Foul and Rush Hour coming in the morning. And I broke my car just stopped. It just stopped for some reason. I was in the fast lane. And I put my blinkers on, and I love Nashville, but not one person asked me for help. My favorite one was, hey, fat ass, get a new car. Because I was out and had the hood up. And I just started laughing. And I ended up writing about this story for the paper because I was shocked how much hatred came at me because I was broken down. And I was like, all right, if I ever see you broken down, I'm not going to yell at you. And people just went off on it. And I get it's rush hour. I understand all that. But the name call, I just started laughing. It just made me laugh what was going on.
Hair Metal Henry on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Poor Chase has the worst luck with flat tires. I sold him a mower with two flat tires. True. He did.
Did you know they were flat?
I knew. Yeah, I think I knew one was flat. But
you still have the mower?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it working?
Yeah.
All right. Then screw you, Harold Little Henry.
Yeah, that's fine.
Good.
everybody's laughing at it. One of my favorite that turned out not to be a breakdown. I've told this story before. We're going up to the NFL Combine, right? In Indianapolis. And so we take a station vehicle. It's me, Floyd Reese, and Jared. And we're driving up, and Floyd and I are just talking, and we start hearing a really weird noise. We're like up in Kentucky somewhere. And like it's making a really, really weird noise, and it keeps getting louder and louder and louder. And I'm like, what is going on? But the temp's fine, like everything's fine. And finally, I just go, man, I need to pull over and check this out. Like, I don't know what's going on. And Floyd's like, yeah, good idea. Stillman's asleep. So we pull over, the hood's up, and we're just kind of like looking at it, and we're both doing like the guy thing where it's kind of like you're sitting there and you're looking at it.
Well, you have no clue.
When right? And finally, I look at him and he looks at me and I go, do you know anything about cars? He goes, I don't know, Jack, please.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I'm like, I think I even called my dad and I was like, you know, here's what it sounded like. And he goes, are you sure it's not the road? It could be the road grounded down. And I'm like, okay, maybe. And because when we pulled off, it stopped making the noise. So it turned out it was just the road. But that was the funniest of like.
Hold on. Three grown men and the road's making the noise. You think the car's falling apart?
One was asleep.
Oh, this is great. And it was the
road. He wakes up to see Floyd and I looking under the hood going, what the hell is going on?
Oh, man. The road. And we thought roads in Tennessee were bad.
Yeah. So there you go. Worst place you have broken down, 615-737-1025. We'll roll through some of your answers coming up next. Jason Big Joe on this Wednesday, 1025 The Game. Jason, that's I-24, all right. Jason Big Joe, 1025
The Game.
No doubt,
man. Good Lord.
And if you travel it every day, you know I'm right. 615-737-1025. Our question of the day, of course, is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. We'll have Cam Ward speaking at around 225, 230, so we'll run that for
yes.
you when he gets to the podium. But our question of the day, worst place you have broken down. And we got several answers here on the old text line. Josh says, on my honeymoon, my new wife's car broke down in the middle lane in Destin. Had to get the alternator changed by a sketchy repair guy in a parking lot. Good times.
Oh, my God. Oh,
we call that a shade tree mechanic. Wes in Clarksville says, when I was a kid, I was with my dad leaving the Atlanta race. We had a blowout going through Atlanta. Luckily, someone let us over because it was like six lanes.
Ugh.
Yeah, those are the worst. Headed to an Oilers game, broke down in the middle of the 610 loop. Oilers fans yelling at me because I was slowing down everyone, but that wasn't bad. Too bad because besides myself, there was only about 100 Oilers fans at the time, Texas J. 0735, I broke down in Gardner, Montana for 3 days right beside the entrance of Yellowstone and had to sit there and look at the Yellowstone sign for 3 days while I was waiting on my car to get repaired.
Ugh.
That's a long time.
Oh, my gosh.
Robert liked to buy a new car fat ass.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's just people. My thing is, don't be rude. I mean, it's not – I didn't want to break down there. You don't want to break down there. It's just, it happens, but my Lord.
Ron from Greenbrier said, stateside, East St. Louis, overseas along Route Tampa in Iraq.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, could you imagine like having a – that wouldn't be fun.
No. No, not at all. Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate your service.
That's what I'm going to say. Thank you.
4070, my transmission went out on the way to Harrah's Metropolis. We broke down in Katy's, Kentucky. Had to spend the night in the car. AAA showed up the next morning to tow us back to Nashville.
Cool. Well, at least you made it back.
Heck. Yeah. Let's see. Rico, worst breakdown. I hit a pothole close to Murfreesboro Road exit during the snowstorm of 2021.
Ugh.
The hole was so deep, my Jeep went nose dive, and instantly I was driving on the rim.
Ouch. I mean, yeah. What do you do then? I mean, there's nothing you could do.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Let's go to the phones. Blake wants to weigh in. Blake, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Chase? Big Joe. What's up? Listen to you guys. First-time caller here. So
yeah, welcome.
Right, opportunity. So I was coming back from the Orange and White game over there in Knoxville. This is the freshman year of Juwan Jennings when he was still listed as quarterback, that redshirt freshman year that he had. After we come back, I had undershot the amount of gas that I had in my car, and I didn't make it quite to that Crossville exit on the way back there. I was about a mile and a half out, and I'm not sure if they they're Amish or Mennonite people, but they picked me up. It was like an 11 passenger van. They had about 7 children in the back. They were all playing with some balloons. It was kind of creepy, and I thought I maybe made the wrong decision here. I was so broke I didn't have enough money to get a gas can whenever I got up there. I'd undershot that as well. The gentleman and his wife take me back up there, and next thing you know, I see some country folk on this little dirt road riding this beat-up truck, and this guy yells at me from probably about 200 yards out. He just screams, "Hey, you out of gas?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then he holds up a gas can riding in the back of the truck. So I ran down there and put that in my car, and I was able to make it back to Nashville.
You got good people around you, man.
Yeah, right, man. It was awesome. It was really crazy for a minute. I thought I was getting kidnapped, and then
Chase
Big Joe. Love you guys. I hope you guys have a good rest of the day.
Thank you, Blake. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Awesome. Call in any time.
It's the way it should be, helping each other out instead of yelling, "Hey, fat ass."
Eric, what's your story?
Yes.
Hey, Chase and Big Joe. My best friend is an independent singer songwriter. Sometimes I'll go on the road with him, and sometimes just him, sometimes him in the band, and so I can be a driver / road manager. And so we went up for 2 nights in Eagle River, Wisconsin, which is 12 and a half hours away. It's like 20 miles from Upper Peninsula, Michigan. So we played 2 nights, you know, drank a lot of Spotty Cow, had cheese curds, rock and roll. On the way back, we stopped in Paducah, Kentucky to get something to eat. And it was Father's Day, so I called my dad to tell him Happy Father's Day. I said, "Hey, you know, we're like less than 3 hours from home, you know, good to go. Don't worry about it." We get about 5 miles this side of Jolton, and the drummer who was driving must have hit a pothole and blowout. So after 12 hours of driving, we're, you know, 30 minutes from home, blowout. So call up AAA. Well, they only have room for two of us, so like the drummer had to call his wife. So she comes and picks up the drummer and the bass player, and then they're here, and they take off, and we sit there and wait 2.5 hours on the side of the road. So it was like 4 o'clock in the morning by the time I got home. I was planning on like being home like just after midnight, something like that. So.
Oh, who fixed the car? You?
No, AAA came and put it on the flatbed and towed it to his, took us along with the car back to his house. And then he had to take it to the tire shop the next day or figure that out.
Oh my God. Well, at least you made it home eventually.
Yeah.
Well done.
That was a good one.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks, appreciate it. Thank you.
We have done, one. Chase, you've spurred this into,
well, we have one guy on Twitter that is probably a fake account, but doesn't care for it.
How many followers you got? 4?
Probably.
Okay.
1. Even better.
He's got one guy? You're worried about one guy who's doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me pay attention to that. Thanks. I mean, they're coming in left and right, so it's good. I mean, so yeah, your misery is spurred off of some things. Whether you're rich or poor, you've always been broken down somewhere. I told you I was going to Sanford one time, and my muffler fell off in Coleman, Alabama. My muffler on my car. So all the way from Coleman to Birmingham, Alabama, I sounded like Ricky Rudd. I mean, it was so loud. And I pulled Ricky into Rudd. Campus, and it was so loud. And a guy said, "What's wrong? Did you lose your muffler?" I'm like, "Yeah, I lost it on the interstate." And it was that to me, that was one of the most embarrassing things.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans here on this Wednesday. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.